our heart cry again and again. Especially as I think of those closing words, Lord, in me abide. And I think of Moses there years ago. He said, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not a hence. And he was desirous of God's presence in their midst. And God was willing to be their guide and leader as they looked to him to continue to guide them through life. Especially in that road to Canaan as they were headed there to the promised land. All right, our assignment for tonight has been shared. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 4, where this is written. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, but I want to back up and start reading at verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. This verse 23, has often been a precious verse to me through the years. As I ponder these verses and think about the impact of that and the far-reaching effect of choices, like our brother's been sharing, the little choices and the far-reaching effect of those choices, and the ongoing challenge to live life in such a way that we don't have to live with lots of regrets. We only get one chance at life. It comes to us a minute at a time, a day at a time. You know, and some days have really, really big decisions in them, and other days have smaller decisions, but they all play together and they all have an effect on the outcome of our lives. And as I think of different individuals that I've known through the years, those who have followed God and the blessing I see surrounding their lives and the lives of their families, and those who have taken a course of selfishness and the continued hurt and pain and challenge that lies in those paths. And it's so sad to view that when it could read different. There's still a scarlet thread in the window, as it were. There's still a garment that can be touched. There's still one that can cleanse our hearts and lives and give us a new focus. And we praise God for His goodness again and again in our lives, our own lives. Without the mercy of God, I wouldn't be here tonight. My own life and God's goodness to me and cleansing my heart from sin again and again as I've needed to come to Him. Well, what does this verse mean? It says, as I think of the title, keep thy heart with all diligence. What does keep mean? Keep thy heart. Strong's defines it as to guard. The dictionary defines it as to protect. Guard thy heart. Guard thy heart. And we know what does he say next? He says, thy heart. It's a gift to us personally. It's something that we each are accountable for personally. I'm not accountable for your heart, and you're not accountable for my heart, at least not in the same way. As parents, we endeavor to guard our children's heart, to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord, and that's another focus in its own. But in this verse, keep thy heart with all diligence. It's ours. It's what is given to us by God, that allotment to us by God. It's very much ours. It's not something unattached. It's ours. And thy heart, Strong's defines this Hebrew word as the heart It says, also used figuratively very widely for the feelings, the will, and the intellect. So we would say it's the very center of one's being, the heart, very center of one's being. Keep thy heart with all diligence. The dictionary defines diligence as attentive and persistent effort. Diligence. You look that up in Strong's, and it almost like it's using this a similar Hebrew word right there in terms of diligence. Guard thy heart with all effort in terms of guarding, to protect it as well as you can. With all diligence. Be attentive and guard it well. One commentator wrote this, he who knows anything of himself knows how apt his affections are to go astray. So above all things, above all keeping, guard thy heart. He who knows anything of himself knows how apt his affections are to go astray. This evening I brought along a little story that has impressed me as I prepared for this message. It's titled this, A Matter of Life and Death. Some years ago, three Mennonite youths in Russia were drafted into the army, but they refused to serve. They had a conscience against killing. Their church and the New Testament taught that a Christian should love even his enemies and do good to them. These three men were cruelly mistreated in prison, court-martialed, and sentenced to death by a firing squad. But first they were taken outside, and each was ordered to dig his own grave. Then they were returned to prison to await the hour of execution. Can you imagine that? Young man, have to go out, you know, been in prison, go out there and dig your grave. Tomorrow we're going to shoot you unless you recant. What a time of soul searching and suspense. All too soon the moment came. The first man was led forth to his open grave. You have one last chance, the officer said. If you agree even now to take up arms, your life will be spared. But if you are stubborn, your grave is waiting for you. The prisoner did not hesitate. He was being given a choice between life and death, but he had already decided. His faith did not falter. Death to his own body would mean life to his soul. In a respectful voice, he said, I am ready to die for Christ. Take him away, barked the officer. No shots were fired. Instead, this brave man was led to another building, but his grave was filled in. The second prisoner was brought out. The officer pointed to the fresh mound of earth. Unless you submit, you will join your comrade in the grave next to him. What do you say? There was a long pause as the prisoner bowed his head in prayer. Then he said firmly, I cannot do it. I cannot deny my Lord. I am willing to die for my faith. He too was led away, and his grave, though empty, was filled with dirt. The third man was brought to the scene. He viewed the two new graves with alarm as the officer challenged him, will you live or will you die? The young man panicked. Death staring him in the face was too much for his nerves. Life suddenly seemed so precious, so alluring. He wavered, then gave in. I'll do whatever you say. The officer commanded the first two men to be brought back. The three stood there, bareheaded and sober. The officer's face hardened as he spoke directly to the one who had recanted. Your brethren had the courage of their convictions. Their lives will be spared. But you are a coward, a hypocrite. You deserve to die. That is indeed your grave. He motioned with his rifle toward the open pit. The two who had been steadfast were led away to freedom, while the doomed comrade whimpered for mercy. But there was none to be had. A shot rang out. His life was over. That's quite a story. Tonight, whether we keep our heart with all diligence or not, is going to make a difference that's a life and death matter. I want you to remember that if you can't remember anything else. Keeping your heart with all diligence is a life and death matter. It is a life and death matter. Living for Jesus is a life and death matter. Many times, we don't put it in the perspective that God wants us to put it in, and the fact that the choices of life are a life and death issues in terms of our souls. And we make exchanges at times that are very unhealthy for our souls and make a big difference in our lives. And were it not for the grace of God and the mercy of God in drawing us back to Him, we would lose out. Tonight, I have four simple points. They're nothing new to share with you, but they're basic points that, yes, are life and death issues. And he brings them out right here in the last four verses of this passage. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. The kept heart tonight is a cleansed heart. That verse is emphasizing the need for cleansing in the life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. The kept heart is a cleansed heart. It's a heart that looks inward. It takes honesty before God. It takes honesty before His Word. It takes honesty before other people to experience a cleansed heart. David was confronted that day by the prophet of the Lord. Nathan came to him and shared that story. David pronounced the judgment. Nathan turned around and told him, he said, thou art the man. I can't imagine being that prophet. Thou art the man. And David responded with, I have sinned. I have sinned against the Lord. Against the Lord. We know that under Old Testament law, David should have been stoned. David should have been stoned. The mercy of God shines in that story. There was mercy granted. God put away his sin. God cleansed him. Beautiful story there in the Old Testament. A kept heart is a cleansed heart. It takes honesty before God and his word and other people. Without the blood of Jesus applied to the life, there will be no real cleansing for sin. The Bible is clear on the blood of Christ and the provision of that blood and the necessity of that blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission, the Hebrew writer writes. And then he goes on and talks about, well, I should just read those verses there in Hebrews 10. Those are precious verses as you think of the blood of Christ and the new and living way and what all that means for the Christian, for those who have been, yes, keeping their hearts and are allowing God to cleanse them. The way he words it here, he says, having therefore, verse 19 of chapter 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, what does he say? Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Such a beautiful picture there as you think of the work of Christ and the privilege to draw near because there's blood been shed on our account. And we can be sprinkled with that. 1 John 1 talks about that as well. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm glad that little word all is there. All unrighteousness. Yes, we need the cleansed heart. Unwholesome habits must be broken off and the stubborn will repented of. You know, what caused Israel to die in the wilderness? It was this very thing. Habits that weren't broken off and a stubborn will. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just read a few verses there. They're written for our admonition, the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 10, verse I'll just start at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. Do you ever wish you could be led by a cloud? And all passed through the sea. That was an amazing day. That put a song on every one of their lips. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual rock. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Isn't this amazing how he ties that together? You don't know, you wouldn't think of that reading that story there necessarily, but here he emphasizes Christ and the work of Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Unwholesome habits must be broken off, and the stubborn will repented of. The story is told of a man that had a real problem with smoking. And he had a Christian wife, and she really wished he would stop his habit and prayed much for him. And she was trying to figure out, how can I help my husband? How can I help him with his habit? She thought of this one day. You know, every time he would spend this money for cigarettes, she started thinking, you know, well, if he can use that money for that, then I'm going to start saving the same amount over here. Okay? And she saved the same amount over here. Every time he spent money, she put some money away over there for herself. Because, like, if he spend that, then I can do this. And as time went on, she was starting to get quite a large pile of bills there. One day she brought these out and she told her husband, said, I've been saving this money. Every time you spent for cigarettes, I saved, you know, I put out the same amount over here. And they started counting this. She counted it right there in front of him, all these 20s and whatever he had spent. And she said, and just like you put yours up in smoke, I'm going to do the same with this. And she lit a match and she burnt the pile of money right there in front of him. That spoke greatly to his heart. And it was used by God in a way to help him stop it. Just quite a story. You know, you think of it. There it was. He was doing this daily, putting it in smoke. And she literally showed him right there in front of him. Well, that's one story. But how is it in our own lives? Can we repent of those unwholesome habits and the stubbornness in our lives and allow God to change us? The kept heart is a cleansed heart. I emphasize that again. The cleansed heart doesn't continue to make provision for the lusts of the flesh. Romans 13:14. What does he say there? Let that verse slip my mind. The passage there. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. And here's the verse I was talking about. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Look that word up. Make not provision is the idea of don't plan in advance to feed your flesh. Don't make a provision there for the lusts of your flesh. Jesus strongly condemns the churches who held to the doctrine of Balaam in Revelation 2, verse 14, and other places there in those, you know, the self-abusive habits, fornication. Romans talks about adultery, incest, gay and lesbian lifestyles, feeding on pornography. Go to Galatians, there's a list there of envy, hatred, anger, covetousness, bitterness, boasting, stubbornness, existing authority. The Bible's full of passages in terms of this. And he says these are the things that we need to be cleansed from. Cleansed from. The cleansed heart doesn't continue to make provision for themselves in terms of these issues. And God help us as the people of God to guard our hearts. To guard our hearts, to protect our hearts and the lives of our children the best we can in this adulterous and wicked generation. It's all around us. It's at the checkouts. It's at the grocery stores. It's wherever you go. You can feast your eyes on things that you do not belong to feast on, but you must have a covenant with your heart, a covenant with God. Like Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not lay my eyes upon a maid. We must need it. The cleansed heart doesn't continue to make provision for the lusts of the flesh. It's a kept heart. The cleansed heart is a heart that is Holy Spirit filled and Holy Spirit led. Romans 8, those precious verses over there in Romans 8, he emphasizes this. He said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is what? Is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I just love those verses. They're plain. They're very plain. Putting it into shoe leather is a challenge. But it says, if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not going to die, you're going to live. You're going to mortify those deeds of the body and live. And I praise God for that tonight, for the work of His Spirit. The cleansed heart is devoted to doing the will of God from the heart, like He says there in Ephesians 6. And you could also look over there in terms of that, you know, as you think of the cleansed heart and Paul's emphasis on the armor. The armor and the protection of that armor, trusting in God. The shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All right, back to our passage in Proverbs. Verse 25 as my next point. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. The kept heart is an undivided heart. I get the picture of here of someone who has started on the straight and narrow way, and his heart is not divided. He's not wanting one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Elijah challenged Israel in 1 Kings 18. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? He says, if the Lord be God, then serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. But don't try to serve them both. He was challenging them really to the true God. Hosea, the writer there in Hosea, challenges Israel too with this fact that they needed to have an undivided heart. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 2. Read one with it. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. Just that phrase right there. Their heart is divided. A sad picture. A sad picture in terms of Israel in those days. Heart was divided. Joshua challenged Israel in Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether you're going to serve the gods that your father served on the other side of the flood, or whether you're going to serve the true God. Today, if there's ever been a time, we need a full commitment to God. Yes, we do. The people of God need a full commitment to God and to God's will for us in 2020. No, what does it mean to you to come out from among them and be separate, like he talks about in 2 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20? What did God mean when he wrote Romans 12, 1 and 2? He talks about presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The devil is ever doing his best to little by little change the church from a godly, virtuous church to a worldly church. And you know, like that poem's been written, or church walking with the world, and little by little there was change in terms of that. I also have always liked George R. Brunk's poem. This is an age of looseness and crime, that when heathen debased to the rich of the time, the tendency strong in church and estate is to go where you please and leave open the gate. And he goes down through in that poem and points out so clearly how we need one another, and we need the input of our brother, and we are not a church in ourselves. We need the insights of our brethren. And I'm glad for those who think beyond my brain's capacity, and who think about other aspects and have been a safeguard to me through the years by their insights. And I'm glad tonight for a decrees for to keep that we have, and the simplicity of that and the challenge of that, and to help us in these areas. We need an undivided heart to serve God. The kept heart is an undivided heart. Who is going to give us direction if it's not the Word of God giving us direction through the practical applications the church makes in terms of that Word? Where will we be? Where will we be? Kept heart is an undivided heart. Am I committed to God, to keeping my heart undivided for Him? And James writes there, you know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see those individuals at times. Maybe see it in yourself at times. Individuals that are hankering after the world in some area, and they struggle with that and what that does to their lives, until they're able to cut that off, turn from that, and walk on and live in victory. Not allow that divided heart to destroy their lives. And then you see others, Lord, that yield to that. And little by little, that divided heart takes them away from God. I've seen that, and it's so sad, so sad. Proverbs 4 and verse 26, our next point. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. The kept heart is interested in spiritual vitality and personal maturity. Is that our goal here? To grow up in Him. The kept heart is interested in spiritual vitality and personal maturity. You know, I'm glad a child, you watch a child, at first you have to help them eat. Parent takes a spoon and, you know, puts it in their mouth. Gives them something to eat, and it's not long before they're grabbing that spoon and they want to use that spoon and feed themselves, and they grow up, and we're glad for that. And if there's anything that blesses my soul, is when youth in our churches grow up too, and they start using this Word and allow this Word to be an influence in their own lives, and they're able to feed others. They're able to feed others. We are interested in spiritual vitality and spiritual growth in every one of our lives. We have been blessed. I've been blessed by those who were mature and who shared the Word with me in my youth. And it is now my turn to take up that challenge and endeavor to share God's Word with others. We need that growth in all of our lives, okay? It's not God's intention that any of us stay babes in Christ. God wants us to grow up in Him. And as we grow up in Him, that sharing a testimony with others, sharing the truth that has impressed you in Bible reading or whatever it is, those opportunities abound. But you know what? It takes some spiritual nurture and spiritual desire and spiritual fervor for that to grow in our hearts and lives. And I'm blessed again and again when the young get up and they share a devotional or whatever it is, and they challenge my heart with the truths that have impressed them. It blesses my heart. You know, we must be asking questions like, where will this choice take myself and my family? Job opportunities need to be evaluated by more than just the pay. It's more than just the pay. How will the work environment affect me? Can I afford to let my children have close friendships with worldly neighbors? Do I take the time to listen to God? Samuel, Moses, David, Paul, many stories in Scripture of individuals who listened to God. The story is told of this back years ago when they went and they cut ice and stuck it in their cellars to keep things to help it last, okay? And this was a big job for them. They're out there cutting and hauling this ice, and there was this 8-year-old boy there with the family, and he was watching. He wasn't strong enough to handle these blocks of ice. He wasn't able to cut those blocks of ice. But his uncle was there that day, and his uncle had this pocket watch with him that he had always admired. He had this, I believe it was, the story says, it was gold pocket watch that he had in his overalls there. And it came time closer to lunchtime, and they asked him, well, what time is it? What time is it? And their uncle went to reach for his pocket watch, and it wasn't there. And they all went to looking, and they could never find the pocket watch. They decided, well, we might as well finally go in for lunch. So they went in, and this little boy got to thinking about this, and he went back out while everybody was in the house, and he put his ears down to the ground, and he listened. And he heard that thing ticking. He went and found the watch, and he came and brought it into them. Where'd you find it? Well, I had to stick my ears down there and listen, and I was able to find it. Well, that story illustrates a truth. You know, when we're willing to take the time to listen to God, we'll find him. In the busyness of life, in the hurry and scurry of life, it's easy to stop and not do that. We can lose some important blessings. And I challenge you tonight to read the Bible earnestly. Read the Bible earnestly. I have here written by someone, it says, the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. I solemnly state this from the experience of 54 years. This is George Mueller. The first 3 years after conversion, I neglected the Word of God. Since I began to search it diligently, the blessing has been wonderful. I have read the Bible through 100 times and always with increasing delight. Each time it seems like a new book to me. Great has been the blessing from consecutive, diligent, daily study. I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. I love that testimony. Good time over the Word of God. And D.L. Moody writes, he says, I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not seem to come. One day I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now opened my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since. Well, those are just two men's testimonies. What is your testimony about the Bible reading in your life? Is it important? Are you finding blessing? I challenge you as youth. Start in your youth. Take the time to read church periodicals. Those things that are just more than the lighter reading, the simple stories. I don't know how many of you get something like the Christian Contender. I'm glad for the privilege to have had a father that loved the Christian Contender, and I saw him there, sitting there many a Sunday afternoon reading Christian Contender and other good solid reading like that, and challenging us as children to that. I'm glad for that example in my own life. But I challenge you here today, if you want to grow up, if you're going to have spiritual vitality and personal maturity, you're going to have to read things that build Christian character and build Christian concepts of God and everything in your life. There's way too many books in this world to waste our time reading those things that won't build life and character in our lives. And we have so little time. So little time to read in our lives, and there's plenty of good books. We live in a generation where the publishing houses have printed book after book after book after book available to us in our Christian setting with Christian authors, those who love God and had a concern for the reading material of our youth. God bless you with a desire to read that kind of stuff. And I challenge you, don't waste your time reading the novels in terms of like Jeanette Oakes books and those that portray a false love story. If I can say it that way, a cheap love story. Don't waste your time on those books. They don't portray the facts like they are. You get married and you live happily ever after. There are challenges in life. They must be crossed. Learn from the valuable input of other stable Christians. I had to make some decisions as a young father in our home. I knew my wife had some of those books when we got married, and I share this story not for my own credit, but I simply share this story because I had someone that at Bible school as an evangelist had challenged my life, or I'd have never thought about it. Challenged my own life in terms of reading, and he challenged us in terms of those kind of books and how you know, they don't portray everything about the real side of life. And I had to deal with those, and we chose to not have them in our home, and I've never regretted that, and my wife's not either, that we got rid of those series and don't have them in our home. The kept heart is interested in spiritual vitality and personal maturity. Lastly, in verse 27, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The kept heart stays on the straight and narrow way. Luke says it this way. No man, Jesus said it this way. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back, what does he say? Is fit for the kingdom of God. Set your sights on heaven and never look back. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Guard your thoughts. Don't ridicule other groups' practical applications to biblical principles. It will have a deadly effect on your family. Don't ridicule other groups, practical applications to biblical principles. Build solid convictions for your own life's well-being. Don't take the stance that every generation needs to reinvent the wheel. We don't need to. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. I'm not saying we don't need to practically apply in terms of our generation, but we don't need to reinvent the wheel. God has given us plenty of doctrinal teachings in the Bible to give us direction, and we benefit greatly by the practices of our forefathers, those things that helped them in life, and they blessed my soul, and they'll bless us still today. Many, many of those. Let's not think we have to reinvent the wheel. Be a predictable, stable individual that others can depend on. The scripture uses the word keep a number of times. I just want to highlight a few of those verses as I think of staying on the straight and narrow way. And over there, and by the way, in Matthew 7, where he uses that word straight, it means restrictive. It means restrictive. Straight and narrow way. There are restrictions. Keep yourself unspotted from the world, James 1:27 says. Starts that verse out with pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In 1 Timothy 5:22, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, keep thyself pure. In 1 John 5, John is concerned and he says, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. In Jude, verse 21, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. There are others you could look at. In Romans 6, verse 17, Paul writing there, he says, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. In Jude, verse 3, As he's writing there, he's concerned. He says, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There's a real fire in his bones there as he's writing, as he's seeing the departure from truth. And he's writing, he says, I'm earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And he goes on and he talks about those who promote a lascivious lifestyle and yet want to profess Christianity. And it doesn't mix. Loose living and Christianity are two opposites. Two opposites. Stay on the straight and narrow way. Tonight, I again challenge us with this statement. Serving Jesus is a life and death matter. Just like the story I shared right at the beginning. Keep thy heart with all diligence, because it is a life and death matter. Shall we kneel in prayer?